Chapter 4. The Carew Murder Case. Nearly a year later, all of London was shocked by a brutal murder. The details were few but very startling. A maid, who was living alone in a house not far from the river, had gone upstairs to bed about 11. Although a fog rolled over the city in the small hours, the early part of the night was cloudless, and the lane, which the maid's window looked over, was brilliantly lit by the full moon. The maid sat down by the window next to her bed and was looking out of it, feeling at peace and thinking fondly about the world. Her peaceful state was interrupted as she became aware of two gentlemen walking towards one another. One was an aged and beautiful man with white hair. The other was a very small gentleman, to whom at first she paid less attention. They met just under the maid's window, and the older man bowed and greeted the other in a polite manner. He seemed to be asking directions of the other man, and his manner struck the maid as being innocent and kind. Then her eye wandered to the other, and she was surprised to recognize Mr. Hyde. This man had visited her master once, and she disliked him. Mr. Hyde had in his hand a heavy cane and seemed to be listening impatiently. Then all of a sudden, Mr. Hyde broke out in anger, stamping his feet and waving his cane like someone gone mad. The old gentleman took a step back, with the air of one very much surprised and a bit hurt. At that, Mr. Hyde broke out in a fury and proceeded to club the man with his cane, trample him under his feet, and strike and beat him severely. The maid could actually hear the bones breaking, and the horror of it all caused her to faint. It was 2 o'clock when she came to and called for the police. The murderer was long gone, but the body of his victim lay mangled in the road. The stick with which the deed had been done, although it was of some rare and very tough and heavy wood, had broken in the middle under the stress of the beating. One half lay at the scene of the murder, and the other, without doubt, had been carried away by the murderer. Left on the victim's person were a purse, a gold watch, and a sealed and stamped envelope that was addressed to Mr. Utterson. This was brought to the lawyer the next morning, before he was out of bed. When he saw it, Mr. Utterson said, "I shall say nothing until I have seen the body. This may be very serious. Please wait for me to get dressed." Then the lawyer hurried through his breakfast and drove to the police station, which was where the body had been taken. As soon as he came into the cell, Mr. Utterson said, "Yes, I recognize him. I am sorry to say that this is Sir Danvers Carew." "Good God, sir," cried the officer. "Is it possible?" Then his eyes lit up with professional ambition. "This will be in all the papers," he said, "and perhaps you can help us find the murderer." Then he briefly told the lawyer what the maid had seen and showed Mr. Utterson the broken stick. The stick was one Mr. Utterson himself had given to Henry Jekyll years before. "Is this Mr. Hyde a person of small size?" he inquired. "Particularly small and particularly wicked-looking is what the maid calls him," said the officer. Mr. Utterson reflected. Then, raising his head, "If you will come with me in my cab," he said, "I think I can take you to his house." They knocked on the door, and a pale-faced and silvery-haired old woman opened the door. She had an evil face, but her manners were excellent. "Yes," she told them, "this was Mr. Hyde's place, but he was not at home. He had come in very late the previous night, but had gone away again in less than an hour. There was nothing strange in that. His habits were very irregular, and he was often away. In fact, before last night, it had been nearly 2 months since she had seen him." "Then we wish to see his rooms," said the lawyer. When the woman began to say that that would be impossible, the lawyer interrupted her. "I had better tell you who the gentleman with me is," he added. "This is Inspector Newcomen of Scotland Yard." "Ah, Mr. Hyde is in trouble. What has he done?" she said, seeming to take pleasure in the idea of Hyde being sent to prison. Mr. Utterson and the inspector exchanged glances. "He doesn't seem a very popular character," observed the latter. "And now, my good woman, Just let us have a look around the place. In all the house, which but for the old woman remained otherwise empty, Mr. Hyde had only used a couple of rooms. These were furnished with luxury and good taste. At this moment, however, the rooms looked as though they had recently and hurriedly been ransacked. Clothes lay about the floor, with their pockets inside out, drawers stood open, and in the fireplace was a pile of gray ashes, as though many papers had been burned. From these embers, the inspector found the end of a green checkbook, which hadn't burned. Behind the door, he found the other half of the stick, settling his suspicions. Then a visit to the bank showed that several thousand pounds were lying in the murderer's account. "You may depend upon it, sir," he told Mr. Utterson. "We've got him. He must have lost his head, or he never would have left the stick, or, above all, burned the checkbook. Why, money is life to the man. All we have to do now is to wait at the bank and distribute photos and a description." This last, however, was not so easy of an accomplishment. Mr. Hyde had never been photographed, it seemed, and his family could not be traced. He had few acquaintances, and even those who had seen him had trouble describing him. Each person described him differently, but there was one point on which they all agreed, and that was that he possessed a haunting sense of unexpressed deformity.